This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
I'm Aaron Glantz. From December 29th to January 2nd, tune in at noon for a special documentary presentation, Winter Soldier, Witness to Occupation.
These are the consequences for sending young men and women to battle. These are the things that happen.
Tune in to hear firsthand testimonies of veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as analysis of the rules of war and how they clash with its brutal reality. You'll also learn about the consequences of sending our soldiers to war again and again, the crisis of veterans' health care, and the future of GI resistance.
There's a term, once a Marine, always a Marine, but there's also the term, eat the apple, F the Corps. I don't work for you no more.
That's Winter Soldier, Witness to Occupation, at noon, from December 29th to January 2nd, on 90.1 KPFT and online at wintersoldieriraq.com.
90.1 KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbian, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Polinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Joan Devlin.
J.D. Doyle.
Brian Levinka.
And Glenn Holt.
Yes. We have a full house.
That's right.
Yes.
So, on the program this evening, of course, we have Joan Devlin and J.D. both live in the studio, which is very unusual. And in terms of guests this evening, we have Black Tie New Year's Fundraiser by Houston Black Tie Dinner, Inc., and that's dedicated to raising funds in support of a diverse group of organizations committed to enriching the greater Houston GLBT community. Also, Theater Under the Stars, also known as TUTS, has a social get-together open to all patrons, but especially the GLBT community, and they'll be here to discuss that. And then in our second hour, Joan Devlin, our Fertile Cornfields of Iowa Northern reporter, will be discussing what she thinks is going to happen in 2009. And on This Way Out, we have something special. It's Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trenton share their favorites from the past, well, year, in the Audiophile 2008 Year in Review. And, of course, we also have some music that J.D. has provided, especially for New Year's. And so, unless you guys have anything you particularly want to share off the top, okay, we will go right into that.
Couples we know are fondly kissing. Will I be with you, or will I be among the missing? Maybe it's much too early in the game. Out of thousands,
This is J.D. Doyle, and I brought that especially for Jack, because I know he really likes Rufus Wainwright. That started out as a Gap commercial, maybe 10 years ago, a 30-second job, and he later re-recorded it, full version, on the McGarrigle Christmas Hour about 3 years ago.
This is Queer Voices.
And in the studio, it's myself, Brian Levinka.
And Jennifer Renee.
And we have gotten through Christmas, and we're all looking forward to New Year's. And the big thing to do this New Year's is the Black Tie event. And in the studio tonight, to give us more information, we have the president of the Houston Black Tie, Sid White, and the co-chair of the event, Mark Chupik. Howdy, y'all.
Welcome tonight.
Yeah. Thank you.
And they only give us 7 days between events. I mean, it's about the time you get over one thing, you've got another one. The first question I have was one that there was an event once upon a time, say 10 years ago on New Year's Eve. Was Black Tie involved in that? Was that another organization?
No, that was another organization that worked. Actually, I believe it was Baring Omega actually, I think, started it.
Uh-huh.
And then the chamber took over, and they had it for several years. And then
it just disappeared
recently,
for another year.
It just disappeared, right.
So this is great that y'all moved it. But why did you decide you wanted to move the Black Tie event from other parts of the year to New Year's?
Well, we decided that normally we do an event in November. And with the economy, the way we saw it coming about, we thought we should have an event that was also partnered with a holiday that people usually go out. So you basically get two events for the price of one. And we thought New Year's Eve, because we were familiar with the chamber event and the Baring event, and they were at the Warwick. Mm-hmm. And our event is at Zaza, which is the old Warwick. And the Zaza was available. It's in a very eclectic, wonderful, fabulous hotel. And we talked with Zaza management and decided that we might as well start a new tradition. Everything seemed to fall into place.
So this event is called Black Ties and Big Hearts. It's a charity event. Can you tell us some of the beneficiaries?
Sure. This year we have 11 beneficiaries. They include Assisters, Bayou City Performing Arts, Baring Omega Community Services, Center for AIDS, Houston Buyers Club, Lazarus House, Legacy Community Health Services, LHI, Montrose Counseling Center, Pet Patrol, and PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship Foundation.
Oh, that's a long list.
Yes, it is.
it's great that it.
And the organizations range from very small organizations to some of the more larger organizations.
Is there a process by how y'all pick that, or is it just a consensus of the organization?
Yes, we actually go through. We have the organizations send in a application. There's an application process that they go through. And we decide from there which ones we think will be best suited for the year. And some of the organizations, for instance, PFLAG Hatch, we've adopted as a consistent beneficiary every year. And some of the other ones we do, you know, every other year they'll get picked, that kind of a.
So let's talk about the event itself and what can our listeners expect. And if they haven't got tickets, what can they expect and maybe get a ticket for this New Year's?
Tickets are still available, and you can go online to www.houstonblacktie.org.
Okay.
That has a link to buy tickets.
Okay, so it's not too late.
It's not too late.
Okay.
And we'll also be selling tickets at the door.
Okay, great.
So,
now, I know that Black Tie is a 501c3. Are the tickets deductible?
They are.
Oh, they are.
Remember
they
that, guys out there. This is the year.
Last minute chance.
Deduction.
Yes. So go ahead. Tell us about what can I expect when I go there?
nonstop entertainment.
Ooh.
We have basically the whole first floor of the Zaza Hotel. In the ballroom, we have Infinite Groove. It's a Houston band partnered with DJ Sun, who is the house DJ at Zaza.
Mm-hmm.
In the Hemingway Room, we have a karaoke theater that's hosted by Miss Coffee and Tauticus.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be battling it out on the karaoke stage. In the Deja Vu Room, we start the evening with a silent auction. And when that ends, it switches really fast into Monte Carlo Casino. And out in the Piano Man Lounge, we have Bubba McNeely and Sean Smith and as cabaret.
So something for everybody, it sounds like.
Something for everyone, and it's nonstop all night.
Now, should we eat before we go to this thing, or is there going to be food? Or
there will be plenty of food.
Oh, my gosh.
We're talking tenderloin, crab cakes, bacon-wrapped scallops. I mean, there's food galore.
So we'll start our resolutions the next day.
Right.
we'll just knock it out of the park on Wednesday. So it's Wednesday night. What time does it start?
8 o'clock.
Okay. And then it goes until the wee hours, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
1:32, whenever your dancing feet quit dancing.
And after midnight, after everybody gets the noisemakers out and has a big to-do over 2009 coming in, we also will have a breakfast buffet as well. So.
Oh, well, so is like the one I remembered
right.
at the Warwick Way many 10 years ago or more.
Right.
So is there going to be like a big countdown to 2009?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yeah.
We do want to make note that it is an open bar. So the open bar comes
to
1 o'clock. Oh, gosh. That's wonderful.
And you'll have plenty of non-alcoholic beverages.
Oh, yes,
also.
We will.
Okay.
Yes.
For those of us who don't partake.
I know where you're coming from.
I'm on the other side of the fence, so yes.
They'll be playing
I'm a
well.
Designated human. No. Give us a bit of the story on how you decided this. I mean, we started out with my original question when we first started, but I know how this is a big undertaking. Mm-hmm. Y'all must have started many months ago, or is this something you really put together aggressively here at the end of the year?
Well, after we finished last year's event in November.
which was wonderful. I loved last year's event.
Thank you.
We'd actually had talked about, possibly taking the year off. From and kind of reinventing some things, and in January we had a retreat session. Our board had a retreat session, and we discussed what were some of the options and things that were coming about. And one of the main things that we decided was that we really wanted to cut back some of the expenses of our event and give as much money back to the beneficiaries, because that is truly what we do this event for. And our fabulous co-chairs had this wonderful idea of doing something at New Year's, and the hotel the hotel was there for us, and it's a fabulous venue.
It is, yeah.
And we needed to jump on this, so we decided to go forward. And
you know what I really love is that the money that you raise stays in Houston.
That's
I mean,
right.
We all know that there are two black ties, this one and then the other one put on by the wonderful HRC organization, but the money doesn't stay here.
Right.
The money with this event stays here and supports our local community, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now,
go ahead.
Black tie means it's black tie, right?
Black tie,
you get
yes.
to dress to the nines.
That's correct. That's correct. Get out all your jewels.
I went and got me a tuxedo for the night.
Good.
So I'm ready.
Oh,
it's always
God.
A fun night to see everyone dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a good event for a great cause, and I'm excited.
Well, and it's an opportunity for our community to get out, one, to support your organization and its charitable benefits that they all do for the many organizations you talked about, but also a place to go, a safe place for all of us to gather and enjoy community,
mm-hmm. right?
In a sense, and that was what I remembered the most about the New Year's Eve parties many years ago at the Warwick, because it was community.
That's right.
Right.
And many of us have diverse opportunities to do things on New Year's Eve, but it was the place to be on New Year's Eve. So
right.
I'm so grateful y'all brought that back.
Well, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it's the place to be this year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was I going to say? I don't read minds. It just went out of my mind. I totally forgot.
Now, give the place where we can get tickets and all.
You can go online to our website, www.houstonblacktie.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a link to box office tickets. It'll direct you through everything you need to do to buy tickets.
Now, you said the tickets are available. What's going to be the capacity? That's a pretty good-sized place.
Actually, it's smaller than past years.
Oh, really?
Last year we had 670.
Close to that, right.
Changing venues, we've had to drop the number to 500 is max.
Really?
So mm-hmm.
You better get your tickets right away. Mm-hmm. So if there's any of them left, you really need to get out there and get them. I did see the Evite that y'all sent out.
Good.
So I got great. I checked. wanted to get mine in real early because I realized that this was an opportunity to dress up on New Year's Eve mm-hmm. and go to a place where everybody would be dressed up
right.
on New Year's Eve.
Right.
Exactly.
So this Wednesday, the Black Ties and Big Hearts charity benefit at the Hotel Zaza. Now, for our listeners that may not know where the Zaza is, where's that?
It's at 5701 Main Street, and that's in the Museum District. Right by Herman Park, right by the fountain. The ballroom overlooks the fountain.
Mm-hmm. Right, starting at 8 o'clock. And the website, www.houstonblacktie.org.
Yes.
Before we drift away, I want to tell us what's going on inside one more time. A little tweaking, everybody.
The ballroom will have Infinite Groove, the dance band partnered with DJ Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Hemingway Room will be karaoke theater with Miss Coffee and Tauticus. Deja Vu Room is silent auction and followed by Monte Carlo Casino. And Piano Man Lounge will be Bubba McNeely and Sean Smith. And there will be food and drinks all night long.
And mm-hmm. breakfast when it's all over.
And breakfast
when
right.
it's all over.
That's
and party
good. That's what I always
like. Champagne toast.
Yeah, even you know, whether you're partaking in libations or not, you get breakfast.
That's right.
And that's all included in the price.
It's all included.
Correct. Now, is that per person or ticket?
Per person.
Per person. Okay.
So come and join us as we say goodbye to 2008 and say hello to 2009. I know I'm looking forward to 2009.
Me too.
Sid and Mark, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Joy Road, but not a bar in sight. 14 minutes, I'll never find another place in time. So I park the car, play my music, and take this as a sign. 'Cause it's New Year's Eve and I believe that I got nowhere else to be. Just on the street, a date with me, and I can do most anything. And I got so much to offer, if the world would just receive. So here we go, Happy New Year's Eve. There's always so much pressure to be somewhere cool, something fabulous to tell them when we're back at work or school. But I don't wanna be with strangers or family this time. So this is my night, out on the street, by the bar I couldn't find. 'Cause it's New Year's Eve and I believe that I got nowhere else to be. Just on the street, a date with me, and I can do most anything. And I got so much to offer, if the world would just receive. So here we go, Happy New Year's Eve. So I'm dancing in the intersection, feeling all the world's affection. I spin around and hit the ground and start off in a new direction. The fireworks, a drum's connection, the rainy street, a mirror's reflection. And as I play my top songs from all year long,
This is what I call perfection. One more minute till midnight. I look up at the moon, 'cause I know you're somewhere out there looking at it too. And the clouds are racing fast as they can run, as I'm texting you a kiss at 3, 2, 1. 'Cause it's New Year's Eve and I believe that I got nowhere else to be. Just on the street, a date with me, and I can do most anything. And I got so much to offer that the world would just receive. So here we go. Happy New Year's Eve.
Very nice song by Ryan Mintz. Of course, that was called Happy New Year's Eve.
This is Queer Voices.
We're going to talk about theater. What a gay theme, huh?
I love theater. I totally have the gay gene for theater. Oh, my God.
Well, you were just saying, Brian, that you came back from New York and saw a couple shows.
We took a trip to New York just to see theater, to see the Broadway shows, and we saw In the Heights and Billy Elliot. So those are great. But we have some great things coming to Houston.
Well, and with us tonight is Johnny Hooks, and he is with Theater Under the Stars. What is Theater Under the Stars? I mean, I've been hearing about it for years, but what exactly is it?
Theater Under the Stars is the largest nonprofit musical theater company in Houston, and one of the largest in the country. We've been performing at Miller Outdoor Theater since it began over 41 years ago, so we're doing
that's
like...
That's a long time.
I know. We're doing like our 41st year. We're really excited.
But you're now in the Hobby Center.
We are in the Hobby Center, yes, correct. That's a $100 million building that was built a couple of years ago, and it's amazing. We have a school, the Humphrey School of Musical Theater, which is not just for kids. It's also for adults that want to take classes like tap classes and cardio tap and whatever, and we offer stuff during the daytime that can accompany somebody being, you know, on their lunch hour. And then we also produce usually three shows we produce ourselves and then three shows we present a year.
So you coordinate what's going around the country?
We do.
Okay.
We're one of the lead companies in the Hobby Center. The other one is Broadway Across America, and a lot of people kind of like...
And what's the difference? I know, you know, you work for one, but...
just the difference really is just we get different shows.
Okay.
So they're doing Spring Awakening. When we head back, we're out for work right now. And when we go back in January, they'll be opening Spring Awakening for a couple weeks. And then we're doing the tour of Legally Blonde, the musical.
Whoop, whoop. That's a good one.
I know. L. With Bruiser. And we're going to do a special. We're going to do a special night at Macy's in the Galleria. And we're going to have Chihuahuas walking the dog walk, as they say, provided by Foxmoor Kennels. And we're going to have Fashions by Macy's. And we're going to have just sort of a great night. It's Wednesday, because Wednesday is the new Thursday.
Yes.
Yes. Wednesday is the new Thursday. It's February 4th, 2009. It's 6:30 to 8:30 at Macy's. And if you look on our Facebook page or MySpace page, you'll be able to find links to these events.
I can already see the sea of pink of what everyone's going to wear at that event. It's going to be,
and the dogs too, yes, are going to be so great, because Foxmoor Kennels is amazing. It's and we're there to help them like PR their efforts to have dogs adopted. So we're really excited.
You mentioned that you have a kind of a GOBT night.
We do. I mean, every first Thursday night.
Thursday or Wednesday?
First Thursday night.
Okay.
I know, because there's Wednesday, soon to Thursday. But we, the first Thursday night when we present a show, whether we produce it ourselves or present it, is called Out at Tuts, and it's sponsored by Outsmart Magazine, and who we love, and we love, you know, everyone there. And it's a cabaret evening, and you can come and sing, or you can like mingle with the stars because the cast comes. And this is the first year we've ever had a host, and I'm the host.
You're the host.
I am the host.
Wow.
The hostess with the mostest, and it's so fun. We unfortunately we're not able to go for with the Color Purple because of Ike, but we went forward with our holiday production of White Christmas, which was amazing. But we'll be doing, you know, Legally Blonde.
Let's talk about all the
Rent
wonderful things that are coming. I can't wait.
It's a super gay season. I mean,
okay, so
but also, you know, for all, we're all inclusive.
Right. Okay, Legally Blonde's first, and then
yes.
Next is?
Next is Les Mis, and it's the first time that Tuts has ever presented Les Mis. We're actually doing our own production, and it was one of the top three most requested musicals that Tuts do.
Now, when you do your own production, that means you have to do auditions, you have to find the, you have to do the whole thing, right?
We go from New York to Los Angeles. We audition Houston players. But it's a little bit different because we feel like it's our own show. Not that we care any less about a show that we present rather than we produce, but it's... It's a little closer to our heart.
That's a pretty elaborate set. Are you going to have the rotating, like, barricade wall and everything?
Well, I don't know if I should be saying this. We are going to be doing some, especially for Les Mis, we're going to be doing some stuff that's brand new that has not been really associated with that production. Some visuals, some different things that you might not normally think of when you think of that production. And it's, I think, going to be a Houston first, and it's going to, it's selling amazingly. And we're so thrilled that the Houston, theater audience is embracing us. We're really happy.
It's going to be hard for me not to sing every word to Les Mis.
I know.
I get slapped every time I try to sing.
I know. It's difficult.
Then after that, of course, we have...
Well, we have Rent that's going to be there only for a week, and it's going to have Anthony Rapp and the other lead...
Adam Pascal.
This is the final tour that they're doing, sort of, and we're doing 5 days, and we're super excited to have it. It's, again, another Tuts first.
Well, the cool thing about that is they were originally on Broadway.
Well, right. Yeah, they were the original ones. Yeah. Yes, and they were in the movie, that's correct.
Yes, and I love Adam Pascal as in his role.
And I actually know some friends who, like, know him through different things, and he's really excited about this, being able to, like, bring this show back to people and show it.
Well, it just closed on Broadway, like, in September.
September, yeah.
That's right.
So your only chance to see it is now on the tour.
And, there's been a lot of talk about, like, you know, the ticket sales and Broadway and the recession and all those different things. But I think that more than ever, people are looking for those sort of premium experiences for musical theater here in town. You don't have to, like, get on a plane and go anywhere. You can stay here in town and go to the Hobby Center and see a show from Tuts and, like, be wowed by it. And that's what we're looking to do.
That's one of the things I love about Houston is our rich and diverse theater district and all the different theater companies in Houston. And
so many.
In Houston, you should take advantage of this opportunity.
Yes, and it's been said that Houston has the second number of theater seats in the downtown.
In the country.
Next to New York.
But that's right. And a lot of people don't know that, but, I mean, when you look at the theater district, and we have that great theaterdistrict.org site, mm-hmm. which you can go to, it will afford you every sort of information about any sort of thing that's coming up in the city, and I love being a part of that.
And besides rent, what else is coming up?
In June, we're doing Cabaret.
Cabaret.
First time since 1976.
I have not seen Cabaret, so I'm...
It's a little bit more of a Moulin Rouge version rather than the sort of dressed-down, skimpy version that the Alan Cummings
yes,
sort of...
Yeah, kind of scandalous.
Yes. I mean, it's still going to be a little bit scandalous, but we're really excited because, again, first time since 1976, I mean, so many things have changed.
Right.
Our home... Our base, the people in Houston. So we're so very excited to kick off Pride Month with Cabaret.
Appropriate for Pride, I would think.
I know, I think so too.
And
Happy Days.
I haven't heard of this one.
Now it's a musical, and it's John McDaniels, who is the musical supervisor, who was Rosie O'Donnell's band leader.
Oh yeah.
And
kind of cute.
Yeah, kind of cute, right?
Yeah, okay.
And Paul Williams, who was, he's won an Emmy, a Tony, a Grammy, he's won it all. He was in, Planet of the Apes, the final one. He was in the film, the Phantom of the Paradise. A very obscure 70s sort of Rocky Horror sort of musical.
And he's in Happy Days?
He is not the musical director, but he's the guy who wrote the book.
Oh, okay.
So we are, and you should really check into www.tuts.com because we have a resident blogger, Thea Starr, who blogs every week, and she will keep you up to date with all things Tuts and all things not quite Tuts, but still sort of bring it back around to what we're doing in the musical theater world. So we love her.
Is the theater still going very well in Houston? I mean, with, the economy turned down and...
I hate to give away our secrets, but when we meet... we meet once a week to discuss what's going on with, sales and our different promotions, and we have different promotions for each show. Group sales, and you can do group sales at tuts.com and 713-558-8888.
Let's say that again.
713-558-8888.
That's an easy number to remember.
That's Natalie Young, who's a fabulous manager for group sales. She's amazing. But anyway, every week we come in and we get these reports and we're like, wow, if there's again, knock on wood, if there's a recession, we haven't felt it yet because people are excited about the titles that we're bringing forward. And I think this season is stellar.
Well, you said it best when you're bringing these wonderful productions to Houston, kind of in our own backyard, that you'd have to go to Broadway to see.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're on the forefront of bringing these sort of shows to Houston, and it's something that is a shared love by everyone who works at Tuts. We do it because we love it. We really do.
And so you're pretty much here to promote the GOBT night.
Yeah, which again is the first Thursday night, of every show we do.
So to get involved in that, do you just buy a ticket for that night, or?
Well, we would. I've been reaching out to lots of different groups: LOAF, EPA, many, many different groups.
And our millions of listeners that are now on Queer Voices.
Yes, Queer Voices. I mean, I actually sent you guys a note. And we're trying to let people know that if they want to promote their group, we have a sort of an audience who's ready and willing to be there. And so if you just, all you have to do is email me at out@tuts.com, and I will respond and make sure that your group, your message, and whatever you need to promote is done. And Outsmart has been, again, a huge reciprocal sponsor, and so happy to to be really there for us. So we're just thrilled.
Great. Now, Theater Under the Stars, is that a nonprofit organization?
It is a nonprofit.
So besides the shows you were saying, what else do you do in the community?
We have our education and outreach is huge. We just did something for Christmas called basically we have outreaches with the Shiner Hospital, Texas Children's. There's several other hospitals within the community that we go to, KIPP Academy, lots of the schools, and we go out and we give musical theater performances to these kids and sort of plant the seed. And, I mean, for me, I never, when I was growing up, I never got that sort of thing. So it's amazing to watch kids get off the school bus at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're going in to see a matinee.
It's amazing. I've seen those buses lined up along Allen Parkway.
That's exactly what they're for.
And I know they're there to see the arts. And,
yeah.
And, you know, certainly, I remember when I was a teenager or, you know, a young adult and going to New York and seeing theater and seeing these little kids go there, which I never had that experience.
Me either.
And it's so nice that all the theaters, all the arts major arts organizations, does that outreach to bring these kids in from the surrounding school
district.
And you
touch one child.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and you can see it. You see them go in, and then you help them get out, and they're touched, and you can see the delight in their eyes.
It changes you internally, I think.
At least
it changed me.
Well, yes.
I know.
Yes, it grabs his breast.
I have the theater gay gene, and I am so musical theater.
But, you know, you see some of those kids, you know, you see them going through.
I was young,
and
I knew that I liked it, and I'm like, oh, this is special. So it kind of helped me, like, oh, yes.
I had no idea. I mean, until I got involved with Tuts, I was, I liked musical theater, but it wasn't something that was really a passion, even though I'd been in plays and done work on stage before. But really, honestly, you know, our Tommy Tune Awards, which we do every year, which is like a Tony's for the high school community in Houston, and with the matinees for the kids, I mean, you just see them transformed, and you just think, man, that's the reason I'm here. It's so great.
Absolutely. Well, how could somebody get in touch with you if they want to find out more about what's going on in the theater?
Really, the best way is to go to tuts.com, sign up for our Out at Tuts newsletter, which is specifically geared to the GLBT community. You can also email me at outattuts, which is outattuts.com, and I will respond with a note and welcoming you to. And we've got almost 2,000 people, and it's a great night. It's just a lot of fun to like go, and you get to hang with the cast, and it's
and
just,
they sing and they belt
they
it
do.
Out.
They do. You've like, been.
I have.
A lot of fun.
Oh, it's tremendous fun. And if you haven't seen Legally Blonde, I mean, you probably saw the movie, but the musical is even more delicious.
It totally burned up MTV and Broadway, right. And so we're just again thrilled to like be able to present this sort of production for Houston. I think they're going to love it.
Great. Well, Johnny, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Johnny Hooks is with Theater Under the Stars, and he was here talking about what they're doing, but specifically out at Theater Under the Stars. And you're listening to Queer Voices.
Let the streamers out.
was a very nice, that's a brand new song called Marry My Girlfriend. So, of course, I call it a gay marriage song. That was by Rachel Romanowski. And if you want more info on that, visit my website, queermusicheritage.com, and look for the gay marriage songs page. Speaking of my website, Jack asked me to plug my show for January.
Did you?
Don't you remember that?
Would you plug your show for January?
Oh, that's a great idea. It's my best of 2008 show. It's a very subjective show, very, very subjective. It's the 14 albums I think were the best for last year. So some very interesting stuff. It's already on my website. You can hear it already.
And we're pretty sure we're going to play that on the second Monday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make an announcement. We're being preempted on the third and fourth Monday of the month because they're doing some type of special programming, which
that's January, by the way.
January.
So we will try to find all that information out.
That disco song you heard, I know there are disco fans out there, that was Happy New Year by Ernest Cole with guest vocalist Pepper Maché.
And like Brian says, you know, any song that you put to disco is a winner.
That's what he says.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, and why don't you tell us what's coming up on This Way Out?
This Way Out is a... I got something to do with that also. It's the year-end show for all the features we do on Audiophile all year. We pick the best seven albums for that show. So that's an L.A.-produced show. I do half of it here and send it to L.A., and there's three of us involved. Chris Wilson and Christopher David Trentum are the other two. So we've been doing this for... they've been doing it since 1997. I got involved in 2001, and I got them started doing a year-end review show.
You know, I am incredibly lucky doing this show to have an incredibly talented cast of characters. And that especially includes you, J.D.
Thank you.
It's amazing when we asked J.D., when did we ask you?
January of 2000 was my first QMH show, so you asked me a few weeks before that.
Yes, and we were trying to find somebody who knew a little bit about queer music, and we found somebody who knew a lot about queer music, and somebody who also learned how to put it all together. And I'm just absolutely amazed that you put it together. You not only put that show together once a month, and it's a very good show, it's an hour show, but you also contribute, and pretty much you probably select about 95% of the music that's played on this show. And the music, how do you define queer music?
Mostly by GLBT artists. They can also be about gay subjects.
And or have the lyrics.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Lyrically gay.
So
that can be by a straight artist.
Yes, yes. And occasionally we sort of break that record, but most of the time we pretty much follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And J.D. also helps us finding some theme music to go with some of the segments we do.
Some topical stuff, and I do that for This Way Out as well. If they're doing gay marriage, if they're doing, you know, some youth themed show, something on the Boy Scouts, I can probably find a song, a gay song, that'll go with that.
Absolutely. Well, and as we're here this week, the last week of the year, last Monday of the year, we also have Joan Devlin.
Hi.
Joan, you know, the time just sort of goes along with me, and I sort of forget. I do remember that, you know, I started here at KPFT volunteering in 1982 with Ray Hill. It was a show called Wildenstein. And that show was on until 1992 when about 30 or 40 programs were canceled by a new general manager who happened to be gay, and the head of the board was a lesbian. And so not only was our show canceled, Wildenstein, but so was Breakthrough, which was a very, very popular women's music show. Mm-hmm. That was on Friday mornings. And what they were trying to do was what's called the Healthy Station Project, which was basically they were going to format KPFT to sort of be what they call AAA music, which is sort of considered adult album alternative with a little bit of country, you know, progressive country thrown in. And that was, you know, the idea was that a station that does all these different type of programs cannot raise as much money as a station that basically does one thing. And as you listen to almost every radio station in Houston, they pretty much do one thing. They do oldies, or they do rhythm and blues.
Talk radio.
Or talk radio, exactly.
That's not limited to Houston, by the way.
No, it's not limited to Houston. It's all over the country. The sort of exception to that is KUHF, which does both classical music at certain parts of the days and NPR at certain parts of the days. And how they're trying to cover that is with their HD radio, is when one's playing one, their second channel could play another one. Well, that experiment lasted for a little while, but we started a new program in 1993 called Lesbian and Gay Voices, and then we changed the name to Queer Voices. And Joan, when did you start volunteering?
I started in April of 94. I came in, Jack recruited me. I came in to help with a fund drive. I was answering phones, and we were kind of talking during breaks and things. And he said, well, you know, if you're interested in volunteering, we could use your help. And it kind of went from there.
See, Jack recruited me.
Jack?
Through Jimmy. Yes, through Jimmy.
Through Jimmy.
Jimmy found you.
I was on Jimmy's show and Jack heard
and
you.
And I stole you, yes.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes. Well, and then Joan started, you know, Joan is an avid book reader, and she's done an incredible number of interviews dealing with authors that probably don't get a chance anywhere else to be interviewed. And what's always amazing is that when you're interviewing these people, you ask them questions that like really says you've read the book. You not only read the book, you really read that book.
Yeah.
You thought about the book.
Yes. Thought about the book, yes.
Well, I always wonder, and I know that in some cases when you have people that do like an interview a day, like say someone on NPR that does a book a day, you can't really read all of those. But we're on once a week. You can read a book in a week. And I feel bad for authors that come on shows and it's kind of obvious that the people interviewing them don't really know the first thing about the book.
Well, but in most of those people at NPR, they have staffs to do it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you listen to like a Larry King interview or something else on, they don't even, you know, they basically skim or somebody writes a little bit of summary or stuff like that. And it's just like they really don't know what they're talking about.
Well, the authors
really
say they get the same questions every time. Right.
Well, I'm sure there are stock questions.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of fun for them, too, to actually get to talk about things that they won't get to talk about on other shows because we've read, you know, we know what the book's about. We can ask them about different characters and different ideas that are presented and different themes that are presented in the book.
And you might say, well, this is a shift from your last book and just stun them.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, and JD can chime in here, you know, queer books have evolved quite a bit. You know, back in the day, you had Allison Publishing, and, you know, it was mostly male, mostly love stories, you know, and then, you
mostly
know,
coming out stories? Or
mostly coming out
stories. A lot of that.
Front
runner.
Come
front
of age.
Runner. Felice Picano, Paul Manette, those folks. I remember in 1979, I was editor of our own community press in Norfolk, Virginia, the gay paper there, and it's like...
Is it still around, J.D.?
No, but it lasted quite a while. It closed maybe 8 years ago, and we did, of course, focuses on all the new books, and you could read all the new books at that time. It was possible.
Yes.
Well, and going along that same subject is, in this community, we pretty much... things like, well, when Torch Song Trilogy came through town and was playing at, I believe it was at the Tower Theater, we talked about it for like 3 or 4 weeks because it was so important, and it was, you know, far and few between when something like that would come through Houston and you know, be sort of trying to reach out to the general community. Well, it has evolved a lot. However, bookstores have also evolved and probably...
They've devolved.
I was going to say, that's not... Because I was in Giovanni's room in Philadelphia, and I missed that. You know, having that, because Giovanni's room.
Is it still there?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And Giovanni's room is a very historical gay bookstore. It's one of the first in the country. There's,
well, Oscar Wilde bookstore is still in New York, but
is it
very small?
A Different Light in Madison, Wisconsin is still there too, but that bookstore, struggles. Yeah. A Different
and
Light.
And the one in
San
Francisco, I believe, is still open, but not LA or New York.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
Well, yeah. Everybody goes to Amazon.
Well, yeah, you,
or Barnes and Noble, or one of those.
Well, and it's online too, and that's, you know, And we're also having that. Actually, let's take, since it's 2 minutes to 10, let's take our top of the hour break.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Music,
yeah,
there.
And that was a guy and a drag queen, TJ and Sheba, singing Baby It's Cold Outside, of course. That comes from the CD Carols Across America, which was released in 2003 to raise money for HIV/AIDS.
This is Queer Voices.
Well, normally we just don't sit around and talk. Normally we have guests and we talk about specific subjects or organizations that go on in the community. But this being the last show of the year and the fact that both Joan and, actually we're all here, which is rather, you know, it's
very unique.
Remarkable
very unique.
And special.
Really unique.
It's a very
and
special evening.
I didn't realize that Joan hasn't been here in 3 years?
3 years.
Wow.
3 years.
I mean, you still contribute from Iowa via phone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's real nice to have you here. And tell us a little bit about what gay life is up there in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, as with straight people, it's a very quiet little community. So most of the couples that end up there are that. They're couples. They're older. They're settled. They're married. We do have two bars. We have the lesbian bar, which is called the Wheeler Inn. And then we have the male bar, which is called Basics with an X. And there used to be a drag bar called the Dragon, but that's recently gone. It got destroyed in the flood, and it's not really going to reopen. And we have a Hamburger Mary's, which opened last year.
Oh, well, we don't even have a Hamburger Mary's.
That was opened by a lesbian couple that decided they wanted to bring the franchise to Cedar Rapids, and it's done very well. It's a very nice place. But, yes, just like, as I said, like with straight people, you know, you get married, you settle down, you want to raise a family, you come to Cedar Rapids. It's a small place. Iowa City, which is 30 minutes south of us, is a college town, so definitely a younger crowd there, you know, more party-oriented crowd, male and female mixed. We do have a gay pride parade. Takes about 20 minutes.
are there bars there for the college?
Yeah, there's several, but I don't, like I said, it's a college crowd, so I'm a little long in the tooth for that. So I don't go there, but they do have a gay pride parade, and they do have a festival. And the festival takes place in a place called Green Square Park, which is right across the street from my church. So that's always fun. You get to leave church and go across the street to the gay pride festival at the park. But Cedar Rapids is very blue. It's a very fairly liberal city.
Well, you were in the middle of that campaign this year because everybody was showing up.
Everybody
there
was in Iowa. I met Hillary. I met Obama. It was great. I'll confess, I was a Hillary supporter.
And so was I. Now, you know that the caucus actually screened both Obama and Hillary and decided to endorse Obama. And one of the reasons is that Obama really had a better organized campaign.
I had no issues with, you know, there were, you know, the bitter Hillary supporters, never met any, and I was not one. I thought Obama was great. Obama got his start in Chicago, so many, many people from Iowa, a lot of times people in Chicago will retire to Cedar Rapids. It's only about 4 hours out of Chicago, and it's less expensive to live there, so a lot of retirees will come to Iowa. Never heard anything bad about Obama, ever, from anyone. Nothing but high marks. So I was, you know, Hillary or Obama, it was kind of fine with me either way, you know, and I'm ecstatic that he won. Obviously, I was one of those people up on election night, you know, and at 10 o'clock, you know, dancing around, whooping and hollering.
We had a nice party at Meteor that night.
Yes, we had an incredible party and an incredible celebration. But you also must have seen a lot of the Republicans through Iowa, too.
Well, actually, I work for a government contractor. So I have a lot of ex-military, retired military where I work. They weren't very happy, which just made my joy more complete. I do have to admit that.
Well, I guess I want to know, are you still the fire marshal in your building?
No, that was like three jobs ago.
Why don't you share that little story with
them? Oh, when I rescued my Joan Crawford pictures, I was the fire marshal, and instead of people, I was rescuing my Joan Crawford pictures.
And you were telling the people, save this with your life. It was all your Joan Crawford pictures.
Yes, I was handing them out.
There are priorities.
Yes. I'm a lesbian. Come on. I got to save my Joan Crawford pictures. But Iowa's interesting. The thing that is interesting about Iowa, and the thing that I have learned politically about Iowa, is you learn a lot about agriculture and farmers and ethanol and things that you don't really talk about in Texas. But, you know, the things like how does ethanol impact people's ability to get food?
Yes.
How does ethanol impact food prices? How does ethanol impact meat? Because if all the corn you grow goes to make ethanol, what do you feed your stock? When ethanol prices made corn, when ethanol made the corn prices rise, a lot of farmers went to corn and nothing but corn.
Exactly.
So there were fewer pigs, there were fewer cattle, fewer other types of produce. So that impacted pricing. It, you know, so the food crisis is something that's very much on people's minds in Iowa, as is alternative energy, obviously.
And that same ethanol caused food riots in Mexico.
Yes.
Because of the high price of corn.
Right, because if you're a farmer, you feed, you know, corn products are what you feed your stock. If you can't afford to feed your stock, you can't afford to keep stock. So the less stock there is, that impacts
and
meat prices.
And really, how efficient is corn for making gasoline substantive? You know?
Well, that's the whole thing,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
That's another issue. But, you know, it does. You know, you don't think about it as much until it's literally in your backyard. I mean, I'm in the Corn Belt, so we hear about ethanol quite a bit there. And ethanol is a big deal. I mean, ethanol is one of the focuses of our new, or Obama's agriculture secretary, who is from Iowa. And he is a huge proponent of ethanol. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Of course, with gas down so low that, you know, ethanol may not be. So, but anyway, you still traveling a lot?
Yes, I was actually, this break that I've taken, I was in Louisiana this weekend. While in Louisiana, we ran over the border to Mississippi and then ran back as fast as we could. And then I'll be going to Dallas tomorrow and spending the rest of my time here in Dallas. We were in St. Francisville, Louisiana, looking at all the plantations, and we checked out the myrtles because I'm into the ghost thing, too, and the myrtles is the most haunted plantation in the country. It's also a very beautiful plantation.
Have you been reading any good books lately?
Actually, yes. I'm reading Tales of the Unexplained right now. As far as gay literature, while I was in Giovanni's room, I told you about that one, the gay history book by George Chauncey. That was very interesting. That was a gay life from the 1880s through the, I think it was the 1940s.
Didn't he write one about New York, too?
Yes, yes. Gay New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a historian. And so I've been reading that. That's the main thing. That book is like 1,000 pages, so it takes a little while to get through it.
And you're still into your 1950s stuff, the movies and...
Everything, yes. I have my... last year for Christmas, I told people all I wanted was the full I Love Lucy, because they'd come out with the box set of all the seasons.
Oh,
so
really?
I have that. So I spend a lot of time watching that. And, of course, Bewitched. Season 7, Bewitched, February. Get ready for it, everybody. And, you know.
I like the original Darren.
Yes, everybody likes the original Darren. But, you know, the usual things. You know, I'm in Iowa. It's winter in Iowa. You watch a lot of TV. You read a lot of books during the winter in Iowa. I have to say it's been a very pleasant change being in a place. You know, people look at me funny because they'll... talk about like this or that restaurant, and I'll be like, oh, are they open this time of year? Forgetting, of course, that nothing closes this time of year because you don't get ice and snow. You know, your ice cream parlors can stay open in February.
Well, yes. And of course, you went through the big flood.
Yes. I was fortunate where I lived. We didn't get flooded, but it was scary because everything around me flooded, so my town was like in a circle.
Like an island.
Yeah, it was like an island. Literally, we were having to loan water to other towns because a lot of the water plants got swamped.
Right. Oh, wow.
But I had, well, I myself and others had about a 5-mile radius in which we could travel. We could not get, you know, the highway, the major highways were all shut down. All the roads into and out of where I lived were shut down. So basically, I could go to work and back.
You said there was a Starbucks?
I had power, yes. Mm-hmm. Had power. Starbucks, a lot of places, though, weren't open because of the water shortages. So they were kind of, if they were open, they were open for a real limited time. But it just felt weird to know. And, of course, the minute you know you cannot get out, mm-hmm. that is all you want to do.
Right, right.
You know, not because of fear or anything, but because it's just human nature to say, well, no, there has to be a way. There has to be a way I can get out of town. People that came in from the airport, you know, were routed to where it took them 30 hours to get the 15 miles from the airport to where they live. Some people never made it. One man got so frustrated he... ended up going the opposite direction to Davenport, which is like an hour and a half away, and staying with family there. People were sent home from work the day of the flood, were sent home at noon and didn't make it home till midnight because they would get, you know, 3/4 of the way down a road and then find it was closed and have to turn around and go all the way back and try an alternative route. It was bad. It was scary. The whole, you know, the fact that the highway shut down, you know, that's a major highway. It's raised. It's, you know, and they're showing, like, barges crashing into the bridge because the water was so high.
Well, we had some of the same problems with the hurricane.
I remember that.
The traffic lights were out, and people were really should have been on the roads. And, you know, there was lots and lots of accidents. In fact, you know, lots of stop signs disappeared and stuff like that. And people didn't realize there was supposed to have been a stop sign in those corners. So we certainly had our interesting things going on this year.
Yeah, I heard about that. My brother and sister-in-law live in Crosby, and they're still feeling some of the effects of Ike. They were without power for like 11 days. And you still see houses, you know, with the blue tarps on the roof.
Yeah, they're still out there.
That's all over.
All over. Mm-hmm. And some people, you know, there was like a month without power. I don't know how they did it.
Yeah,
because most people started going back to work in the second week of it. How long were the city isolated where you couldn't get out?
The city was isolated for about a week. They got the highway open pretty quick, but they were recommending that you don't go to that part of it unless you absolutely had to. Of course, you had your tourists, your sightseers.
Yes,
you know,
everybody had disaster seekers.
Yeah. And you know, and the sad thing is, you know, they were telling people, you know, don't walk in the water, don't go near the water. And as they're on the news, you know, telling people that, you know, behind the newscaster, you can see people like walking through the water, riding their bikes through it, fishing. And they were telling everybody, you know, there are fish in the water. Do not eat these fish, because, you know, sewage plants got swamped. It was a disaster. But, you know, I guess people think it's funny. I don't know. But, yeah, they had a lot of problems with people coming down there to look or trying to ride boats, you know, through the streets and all this other stuff.
So you said there's two bars in town, but is there any type of community there?
There is a community, but it's not organized like it is here. There's no, like, official gay and lesbian groups, but there are things you can do that mostly gay people do. You know, so there's certain groups you can join, you know, a lot of the theater companies, obviously. There's a lot of choir groups. There are, at the colleges, there are, of course, student groups. But, you know, like I said, it's not politically active like here. Cedar Rapids is 120,000 people, and I'd say we are about 10%, like always, like everywhere else. But again, it's couples. So, I mean, you know, it's the typical couple thing. You know, you're coupled, you're raising children, you're involved with their schooling, you're involved with, you know, the things that married people tend to be involved in. You know, you're staying home, you're paying the mortgage, you're raising the kids. It's a lot of that. So that's, I think, another reason why it's less active. Iowa City does have, you know, several more political groups and things of that nature. But again, that's a college town.
And, of course, you don't have a community radio station.
No, we have a college radio station, which is a public radio station. It's put on by Kirkwood College. Very good station.
Is it part of Iowa Public Radio?
Yes. Very good station. However, nothing like Queer Voices is on it at all. It's more music-oriented.
So,
have you talked to them about putting one on?
Yeah. We'll have Iowa Queer Voices. Right? We'll have like three people.
You can call us for interviews.
See? Yeah, that's it. So what do we think is going to happen with President Obama?
Well, it's really interesting. This has sort of been his first major sort of calamity, in a sense, that I understand.
This being Rick Warren.
The fact that he invited Rick Warren to speak at his inauguration to give the one of the, you know, major religious type speeches that is going to be given, and this person has been blatantly anti-gay. Now, you know, some of them defend him that he has done stuff for people with AIDS, but
AIDS does not equal gay.
Yes, and a bigot is a bigot. However, you know, you look at this, and maybe this is good, you know, in a sense, maybe this is good that this happened so that Obama realizes he made a mistake. And at the same time, this person is not being appointed to anything. This person's not going to be running a cabinet level or any type of division within the government. He is just giving a speech. Now, that's not good, but he's not in government.
Well, here's the issue, though. For many, many years, you know, we went through this where certain candidates would court us, ask for our support, take our support, take our time, take our efforts, take our energy.
Throw us under the bus.
Yeah, and the minute they got elected, we were the first group of people they sacrificed. And I think after Prop 8, you know, Proposition 8 in California. I don't think this community is going to allow that to happen anymore.
Well, we won't go quietly.
No.
No.
And a lot of, well, you know, it's interesting, and I don't know if you saw that up there in Iowa, but here in Houston, right after Prop 8, this Project Impact, that is sort of a loosely based national organization, very loosely organized through Facebook, had an incredible rally downtown Houston about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're planning to do future events. And the fact that they have this rally here in Houston concerning Proposition 8, where here in Texas, you know, we still can be fired for being GLBT.
Uh-huh.
You know, we don't even have the basic rights, let alone, you know, trying to strive for marriage. On the other hand, a lot of these young people are sort of waking up, wait a minute, we don't have any of these rights?
Yeah, they don't understand that they don't.
Yeah, so this might be a good thing that it sort of woke up the community, especially the younger people who have not made... probably many of them not face discrimination. And it's really interesting. There's a really good story earlier on NPR, and it was here in the paper, about a study that was done that shows that young gay health has to do with how their family perceives them. And, you know, certainly a lot of us grew up that our families weren't very open about, you know, a lot of us didn't even come out to our families until we were in our, until we were adults and away from them. Mm-hmm. Now that's changed a lot. And the survey that basically said they surveyed 224 white Latino gay people between the ages of 21 and 25 to see which of the behaviors they had experienced growing up. And basically it said that, you know, if their families was either neutral or positive, certainly that helped them out a lot more in development. And that study was done, this is in San Francisco's the byline, but you can look up NPR.org under All Things Considered today, and you can play that interview that was done, the story that was done about this, or look it up in the Chronicle today. It was done at the San Francisco State Universities, it appears in the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Well, that kind of tying into that a little bit is there was a study on MSNBC today, where they took they did a survey of people who had taken virginity pledges, you know, the abstinence
only. Yes, I saw that, yes.
And they said 84% of those individuals were likely to have premarital sex or break the pledge. But that wasn't, you know, that's kind of obvious. You would expect that. But what's unexpected is because abstinence only programs tend to be have a religious origin and tend to be anti-birth control, people who take the virginity pledges and go through abstinence only when they do have sex are 10% less likely to use condoms or any other form of protection. So, you know, this is, again, it just shows that we really have to take these religious biases out of, you know, life in
health.
General.
Yeah. Life and health. It's just practical. It's having a little bit of common sense in some practical matters.
Well, yes, because it's scary enough, you know. So 84% of people who take virginity pledges have sex anyway. Oh, well. You know, they said pretty much 84% of people who don't take virginity pledges have sex anyway. That's neither here nor there. But the point is, you know, make sure people are protected, because we could be bringing up a whole new generation of people, and especially now that there's this idea, this ridiculous idea that, you know, AIDS is like diabetes, and if you get it, you know, you become HIV positive,
take
a pill, and you just can live another 100 years, and it's all good. You know, we really need to hammer home the need for protection, and you see this also with the, you know, discouraging young women from getting the Gardasil, the cervical cancer shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no reason why anybody shouldn't be able to get that. Again, it's just protection.
Absolutely, and that's part of what this administration has been doing over the past 8 years, is sort of burying their head in the ground about some of these issues and thinking
burying their head in Iraq.
Yes, mm-hmm. Well, that's true too. Exactly.
And hopefully things will change a bit and that we'll realize that, you know, we need to be talking about safer sex and we need to be...
Leave no child behind without the information.
Right.
Yes.
And we need to stop demonizing thoughts and ideas and... Well, not even thoughts on this. We need to stop demonizing factual information that you don't like because you have a different viewpoint. You know, facts are facts. I get very frustrated, and you see this. I call it like the conservative news culture, where if you don't like or agree with a particular fact, you just deny it's a fact. So we'll just deny, you know, that abstinence education doesn't work and keep pouring money down that rat hole. We'll just... You know, deny that, you know, gay people, you know, there's nothing wrong.
We don't exist, and if we exist, we're a pariah.
Gay marriage does not impact straight marriage in any way, shape, or form, but we'll just deny that that's true and continue to bludgeon gay people with that nonsense.
Well, the greatest danger to heterosexual marriage is heterosexual divorce, having nothing to do with the GLBT community.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, in you know, was it Alabama where they tried to outlaw adoption, gay adoption, and you know, that's just hurting the kids who don't have any other alternatives.
Well, they passed a law that was so far-reaching that unmarried couples who had adopted children were losing their children, because it basically said only married people could adopt children. So then you had like single people or people that were living together that were raising kids in perfectly good homes that were suddenly lawbreakers. So who did that really help?
Well, apparently they didn't ask the people that run the organizations. Usually the adoption agencies and all, unless they're religious-based, don't hear that we need more parents to adopt, not fewer, and to eliminate that. But that's what happens when you have legislatures who adopt a theocracy instead of a democracy.
You know, it's my opinion that the one of the natural roles of gay people in the world is, well, of course, obviously one, priests and medicine men and holy men, that sort of thing, but the second big function of gay people is adoptive parents.
Not to make things pretty?
Well, that too. But, I mean, 10,000 years ago, before there was pretty, okay?
Well, who do you think did the paintings on the walls in the cave?
Exactly.
Yes. But the other thing, this is once again where we deny facts. There is absolutely no evidence that being raised by gay parents hurts you, you know, hurts children in any way, makes them any more or less likely to be gay or straight or whatever. But again, you know, people with a certain mindset will just deny the facts in order to get what they want and not care who they hurt.
You know, as a matter of fact, there was a gay couple that I knew in Atlanta about 20 years ago, and they raised a son. And the son grew up straight, even though he grew up in their gay bar.
Okay, everybody in this room who was not raised by two straight people, you know, raise your hand. Because I don't know about you, but I was raised by two straight people. They never modeled, you know, gay behavior to me, but guess what?
Well, Joan, I really appreciate you coming in tonight, and you too, JD.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joan.
I hope it's not another
here.
3 years before you show up.
Yes, come back more often.
I'll try.
Travel down.
Well, you
here.
Still have your father here, right?
Yes, I have pretty much all my family's in the Texas area.
And JD, you're living up in the Woodlands now.
I'll try to make it in.
But you contribute.
I do.
And the rest of us who live relatively close and usually can make it here if there's not a hurricane or a snowstorm. Thank you all for joining us this evening. We're going to go to This Way Out, and you're listening to Queer Voices.
She's been dubbed a dyke diva.
I'm just speaking from my heart.
And his velvet gravel voice intones hauntingly beautiful songs. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. These are just two of the LGBT voices we featured on Audiophile this year.
Join us as we take a longer listen to our favorite seven on the Audiophile 2008 Year in Review.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. As we reflect on another year of struggle for equality around the world, this week's Audiophile 2008 Year in Review recalls how music provided the soundtrack. There's no news wrap this week or next, but we'll catch up on events in or affecting our global LGBT communities in 2 weeks. And later, we'll preview the second of This Way Out's two traditional holiday season specials. Right now, with the first, here are Chris Wilson and J.D. Doyle, orchestrated by production guru Christopher David Trentum, with their Audiophile 2008 Year in Review.
I love being queer. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it.
Hello and welcome to our special Year in Review expanded edition of Audiophile. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. In the past year, our gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered artists brought us a wonderful variety of music, touching many genres. As always, narrowing them down to just a few was not an easy task, but we're sharing with you seven of our favorites from our 2008 Audiophile features.
Starting us off with a very out-of-the-closet album is Gay Adegbolola and her latest CD called Gay Without Shame.
You know I was drinking at the fountain. I was drinking at the fountain of life. I could drink from the black one. I couldn't get near the white. Now I'm still drinking at the fountain. And you know it's still the fountain of life. I can drink at the straight one, but I can't take a wife.
Gay is one-third of the blues group Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women, and this is her third solo album. And here's one more very out song.
I ain't ashamed. No, 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 I ain't ashamed. I ain't ashamed.
Find out more about the album Gay Without Shame by Gay Adegbolola at www.adegbolola.com. And of course, I'll spell that for you. That's www.adegbolola.com.
Eric Hyman is one of our more prolific artists. His new album, called Resonate, is his eighth since the year 2000.
They come to tell me that hell is at my door. How nice of them to warn me a whole lifetime before. I've got the rest of my life till Judgment Day is due. Oops, look at the time, I bet you got better things to do. I was not raised the way you were, and yes, I'm glad. Way, get out of my face, deal with it like I am. Deal with it like I am. I am not a soldier, I am just an average man.
unless they need my help.
This is the second time Eric's made our Year in Review show, and on this album, he explores some new and very interesting territory, including a song inspired by a transgendered boy.
CD Resonate by Eric Hyman at www.erichyman.com. That's www.erichyman.com.
Alive and Screaming is the CD title. But with his velvet gravel voice, Jake Walden's debut album is heartfelt, filled with emotion and hauntingly beautiful.
It takes a lot to love another, even more to set them free. Even whores can fall for someone. Maybe someday you'll fall for me. And there are times when I'm blind, other days the prophets mock. We are masters of illusions as we shelter our desires. Well, I'm not trying to tell you where you ought to go. I'm not trying to tear you down. Just speaking from my heart. I'm just speaking from my heart. So come on, mothers of the young. Fathers of the world, tell them go and search for someone. Tell them one day return to me.
On his website, Jake says, if I haven't made half of the audience cry, not out of sadness, but out of hope, then I haven't done my job or lived up to my dream. With this album, you'll believe it.
It's been a long time coming now. It's been a long time down. Many moons between us now. The thought that I bear, and I don't know how. I am falling. I am falling. Gotta let go, feel the wind.
myself out of the way. I don't need any fear any longer. The end of my long story. You're the only calm I've known. I am waiting for your heaven.
You can learn more about Jake Walden's album, Alive and Screaming, at www.jakewaldenmusic.com.
Sweet Life is the ninth album by Katie Curtis and the first one recorded in Nashville.
I remember my first heartache, learning all the different ways my heart could break. I took off to San Francisco Bay, grieving. Then there was the one in Tennessee. That one nearly was the end of me. So sweet, but looks can be deceiving.
Albums, this one is beautifully written, well crafted and produced, and this time brimming with optimism.
I wanna throw these photographs away. Don't know why these memories got saved.
About Katie Curtis and her new album, Sweet Life, at www.katiecurtis.com. And Katie is spelled C-A-T-I-E. You're listening to the 2008 Audiophile Year in Review here on This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. The fourth album by Chicago artist Scott Free is very gay and very political, and has the intriguing name, The Pink Album, a pop opera. It starts with a song that too many of us can identify with.
Like a girl in the fire, and they chased me through it, laughing 'cause I ran like a girl.
like a girl to cover up the bruises I would make up on my face like a girl.
Scott's album covers a lot of ground lyrically and a lot of musical styles.
Find out more about Scott Free and the Pink Album, a pop opera, at www.scottfree.net.
Sam Harris got his big break on the American TV show Star Search back in 1983, winning with a smashing version of Over the Rainbow. And he's had a long career since as a singer and actor. His new recording is called Free.
There's a curve up ahead in the distance, and I'm driving the fastest way home. There's a light in the window that's burning. The only fire that I've ever known. All the miles that I let come between us are finally fading away. So I'm bringing him roses and a heart that is open and a man who's ready to stay. 'Cause he is the air that I breathe in, the world.
This album, with a variety of styles, is personal and full of love and pride and hope.
And I'm free to die, forget about my two left feet, and I'm free to sing, keeping joyful noises, music to me, and I'm free to love, 'cause I'm giving you my love, and it's made me free. My mind finds it hard to believe that this is my humanity, and I've changed my course of history because I love you so. And my heart cannot understand why you'd accept me as I am, but I guess there's always been a plan. That's all I need to know. So when I am concerned by what the world will say, it's when I'm singing to you. I'm
remove my chains and I'm free to dance. Forget about my two left feet and I'm free to sing. Even joyful noises, music to me. And I'm free to love, cause I'm giving you my love and it's made me free. Free from worry, free from envy and denial. Today
find out more about Sam Harris and his new album called Free at www.samharris.com.
From her stage show, she's been dubbed the Dyke Diva. So we can see why our final artist this year, Lori Michaels, named her debut album Living My Life Out Loud.
I thought I had a bad feeling when I met. You gave me those eyes. Myself over and over. Snap out of it. Get a grip now. You keep creeping to me when you know it ain't right. Looking like I got something to hide. I have some explaining to do. And it wouldn't be a pretty sight. Get it through your head that I'm not about to let myself go. Do your evil ways. You can't know that you're calling me. Like I said, get it through your head. Don't believe that you can change my mind. I take it for this ain't the first time that you want what you can't have. So get off my back, enough said. Get it through your head. Get it through your head. Get it through your head. Talk about what happened last night. Just put it in the past and say goodbye. On the contrary, it's only temporary. Can't you just leave it alone? Get it out of your head that I'm not about to let myself go. Do your evil ways. You can't know that you're calling me. You keep stalking me like I said. Get it through your head.
Lori's music covers a lot of territory, from some moving ballads to some serious party songs.
Says there ain't no way, but she looks so fly. Guys wonder why, oh why. I never seem to look that deeply in their eyes. Don't care if it's wrong or right. I just came to strut my stuff and have a good time.
Party on.
The name of the album is Living My Life Out Loud, and if you go to LoriMichaels.com, well, you'll find a porn star, so to find our artist, you will want to visit www.LoriMichaelsProductions.com.
And that's it for this special Year in Review edition of Audiophile. We would like to thank our co-producer, Christopher David Trenton, for helping to make Audiophile possible.
You can write to us at 594 Sawdust Road, number 273, Spring, Texas, 77380, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening.
Meet me at the bar.
Hey!
So what were the best gay films of 2008?
I need some time. I just don't know if this is really what I want.
Seems like what you want.
Until I met him, I'd never known anybody to take such an interest in me.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
And how did we fare on TV?
Dr. Eve, when you de-homosexualize me, will I still be able to perform as Tammy Wynette?
Hi, I'm Steve Pride. Join me on the next This Way Out for a special look at Pride on Screen in 2008.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum brought us their Audiophile 2008 Year in Review, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by donations from our listeners. Thank you. We gratefully acknowledge a generous Australian donation from the Brisbane Pride Festival. They've always enjoyed a strong mutual support from their local community radio programs, Queer Radio and Dykes on Mics on 4ZZZ FM. Organizers of the Brisbane Pride Festival say they're proud to help secure the future of This Way Out, the truly international LGBT radio magazine. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to postal mailed CDs or cassettes of our programs. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening. In Europe, Asia Pacific, and Africa Middle East regions on the World Radio Network, on shortwave station Radio for Peace International, and on more than 175 local radio stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please do stay tuned.
Well, we'd like to thank our guests, but first of all, I want to thank J.D. for being part of Audiophile. It's
great, great to be here live.
Yes.
Live and on tape.
I want to thank our guests from the Black Tie Dinner this evening. I want to thank Johnny Hooks from Theater Under the Stars and Joan Devlin for flying in to be on the show.
Yes, it was wonderful. And your weather's wonderful, too, by the way.
And accommodations are by, well, like they say it.
Lovely parting gift.
And next week, we're going to be talking to David Elliott from Washington, who is going to give us an update on what's going on up there. And we hoped also to have Paul Scott on to give us an update what's going to go on in the state legislature, which will be starting up next month for their session. As we all say, nobody's safe while the legislation's in session.
J.D., what's up for next month?
January's show is the best of 2008, so it'll be some really interesting stuff at queermusicheritage.com.
Joan, what's coming up?
What's coming up is I will be talking to some authors. I will send the information on to Jack. It will have to be a surprise because it's on my list with me at the moment.
And we hope to have plenty of shows coming up that have very good stuff on. We will not be here on the third and fourth week of January because of fundraising. They're doing something special. But we're here almost every other Monday. You're listening to Queer Voices.
You have been listening to Queer Voices. Heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
This is the time of year to plant fruit trees in our area, and you can pick out one just right for your yard at the Urban Harvest Annual Fruit Tree Sale. The sale is located at the Rice University Football Stadium Concourse on Greenbrier between Rice and University Boulevard. There will be a large selection of citrus trees, peaches, plums, apples, pears, figs, pomegranates, pecans, grapes, blackberries, blueberries, persimmons, starfruit, guava, dragon fruit, avocados, olives, and more. The sale will be held Saturday, January 17th from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Two pre-sale classes will be held at the Urban Harvest offices on Saturday, January 10th and Tuesday, January 13th. For more information and directions to the sale and classes, check the Urban Harvest website at www.urbanharvest.org.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.